think we're all fairly familiar with the book of Romans, and some Bible scholars have said that Romans is considered to be the Fort Knox of Bible doctrine. And during Paul's time, believers in Rome were compromised of both Gentile believers and Jewish believers. And as Brother Ty has been pointing out over the past several weeks, many of the believing Jews still thought you had to keep some portion of the law. You had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome in about 60 AD, thereabouts. And I believe his purpose was intended to clarify the absolute supremacy of the grace of God and the absolute depravity or no need whatsoever of keeping any of the law. Everything is by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. In Romans chapter 5, what I wanted to talk about just a few minutes this morning is this, if you want to call it, by one man. People say, well, what can one person do? I can't do anything that will affect even my neighborhood, let alone the world. But here Paul brings out the illustration of by one man. And he makes these comparisons, the comparisons between that first man, Adam, and the second man, Jesus Christ. And as we know, by the first man, Adam, we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But by the second man, we are eternally sinless. We are without blame. By the first man, Adam, sin and death was brought into the world. But Jesus brought righteousness and life for all who believe. The first man, Adam, was disobedient to God. But Jesus always did the will of the Father. That first man, Adam, was condemned by sin in the garden. But by Jesus, we are redeemed by grace at Calvary. Adam brought immediate judgment upon not just himself, but all mankind. But Jesus brought immediate justification to all those who believe. Adam was subjected to the law. But we are saved by God's grace. In Adam, sin abounded, but grace abounded much more in us through Jesus Christ. Through Adam's disobedience, we became enemies of God, but now we are the children of God. Adam's action separated us from God, but Jesus restored us unto God. Adam was cast out, but we are accepted in the beloved in Christ. Because of Adam, all men are subjected to the second death, but those of us who believe will be alive forevermore. Adam was fruitless. Jesus was fruitful. Adam brought shame. Jesus brought hope. Adam, like us, was weak, but in Christ we are strong. Adam was ignorant, but we are wise. Adam sorrowed at what he had done, but we are joyful in what Christ has done. Poor versus wealthy, sin reigning unto death, versus grace reigning unto eternal life. What a difference. One man. One man. That man. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Therefore, a second new man was required in order to abolish the sin of the first old man." Romans 5:17 kind of sums it up. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. One man. No other. One man. And precious hearts, we are so blessed to know that because Christ now lives and dwells within us, we are now that second man. That's his life in us. That is, he is our identity. That old man is gone. We are now at peace through God, with God, through our faith in Jesus Christ, our new nature. Our second nature is now as God's children. And if we are children, then what are we? Sons. And if sons, then heirs. And if heirs, then joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be we suffer together with him. Paul intentionally in this chapter wrote of suffering as part of our Christian life. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's why Paul wrote, think not it strange when these things happen to you. Trials are how we grow. Trials are how we overcome through Christ. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Only by God's plan and only by his purpose and his pleasure may we continue to grow up into all things in Jesus Christ. And God has already done everything for us, everything that is needed to reconcile us back to himself, something that no one man, that old man, could ever do. It had to be a second man. About 37 years ago, my brother Patrick, younger brother, had graduated from college, and he was out of Fort Collins, CSU, and he got his first job down in Colorado Springs. And he called me. He goes, do you know of any churches in Colorado Springs? I said, no, I don't. He goes, I think I need to go to a church once I get down there. And I said, well, brother, I'll pray for you, number one. But I pray that you find a church, that God will lead you to a church that teaches the whole counsel of God out of the Bible. And I said, you have a Bible? Yeah, I have a Bible. I said, the first thing I would ask you to do is read and study the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the Apostle John. Then get into the book of Romans. To me, those are the two foundational books in which all things tie together. Because without knowing who Jesus really is, and knowing the superiority of grace over law-keeping, because we were raised Catholic, you're going to get off on the wrong foot. And he found a church, a Bible-teaching church. Romans 6, let's just read a few verses, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In this chapter, you find three key words: no, reckon, and yield. There's an importance here that we cannot overstate, and we need to thoroughly understand. It's a process. No, reckon, yield. And the three are woven together. Knowledge is important, but knowledge without reckoning is unfruitful. When we reckon, which means to conclude, we are in agreement with God. And when we yield to God's will in our lives, we enter into all the riches of his grace. It's no longer I that I live, but Christ who lives in me, right? And you. I believe that Paul's letter to the saints in Rome is really the foundation of it all. So what can one man do? He did it all. And because he did it all, we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Isn't that marvelous? I never get tired of it, and I know you don't either. God bless you this morning.